Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTD HD, your gateway to public radio. I'm Gregory Berg. I am very happy to once again welcome into our studios Nan Calvert, who is a director of education and outreach for Sino KRLT Conservancy. She helps arrange once a month various programs for the morning show that are around various themes related to the world around us, the environment around us, its well-being and our well-being as a result, and things that we can do to be living more sensitively and in greater harmony with the world around us. And we've, of course, touched on all kinds of different issues. Nan, I know that you are really excited about the guests that you have arranged today because, in a sense, the work that she does on a daily basis folds right into so much of what is most important to you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. I'm always excited when I can have one of my colleagues on. We are very, very lucky in Wisconsin because we have quite a number of land trust organizations. And I know I've spoken about land trust organizations beforehand, but briefly, what land trust organizations do is help people set aside land in perpetuity, and we're not afraid to use that term, in perpetuity, so that land can be preserved without being developed, without becoming another strip mall or another parking lot, so that land can remain viable. If it was a farm, it can still be a farm. If it was a woodland, it can still be a woodland. It is whatever the landowner wants it to be. And Maggie Zellner is my colleague, if you will, my cohort, my partner in crime from the Kettle Moraine Land Trust. We've had the Caledonia Conservancy on. We've had Ozaukee Washington Land Trust on. And certainly I'm here on a monthly basis because I represent the Sino KRLT Conservancy. KRLT stands for Kenosha Racine Land Trust. We are a merged organization. And so I thought it would be great to have Maggie on and talk about what she does and where she does it and why she does it and all those things.
Very good. Yeah, it's always fun to have a counterpart sitting beside you at the mic. So, Maggie Zellner, we welcome you to the morning show. Again, you are executive director of the Kettle Moraine Land Trust. Before we talk about that, let's find out a little bit about where you are from originally and at what point some of these issues and so on started to become important for you.
Well, thank you, and thanks so much, Greg and Nan, for having me. Natural resources in general have always been part of my life. I grew up a farm girl, very lucky to be from Lafayette County. Graduated with a high school class of 32, very small town.
Wow.
My parents still live on a 200-acre farm along the Pecatonica River. In fact, my oldest son is there right now deer hunting. He got a buck yesterday, so we're all very excited. Always good to have venison in the house. So growing up as a farm girl, helping my dad with chores, I mean, we always spent a lot of time outside, but I was very lucky. I grew up in a family where we took time to enjoy nature. So I early on found myself in some of my happiest moments just reflecting on and being alive in nature, experiencing nature, loving, you know, the sounds of the cranes overhead in the fall, just looking forward with anticipation to each and every new season. So when I got to the point of thinking, well, what do I want to do with my life? I knew I wanted to go to college. And I thought, well, I need to get a little further away from home, so explore the world. So I went to Stevens Point and graduated with a degree in natural resource management with a soil science emphasis. And I worked in several different agencies over the years. I worked for the Bureau of Land Management out in Utah. I was fortunate to work in northern Illinois for some of the county forest preserve districts. I have actually even worked for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. But along the way, finally settled back in Wisconsin and wanted to really make an impact in my own community. So I was fortunate enough that the Kettle Moraine Land Trust, about 5 or 6 years ago, was in a position where they were looking for some part-time help. So I thought, well, this is my opportunity. You know, I want to work where I live, which was in Walworth County. So Kettle Moraine Land Trust serves Walworth County communities and beyond, but they really focus on the lake communities in Walworth County. And there are 20 different named lakes in Walworth County. And it's a beautiful rural agricultural area as well. So it's a perfect place for me, a perfect organization. We're a nonprofit conservation organization, just like NANS is. And I love to get up every day and go to work. And I'm really happy to be here to share a little bit about our programs and what we do with you.
That all sounds absolutely wonderful. For especially the sake of maybe a few of our City Slicker listeners who are listening, could you explain the name Kettle Moraine?
Yes, I'd love to. Kettle Moraine is actually a geographical term. It describes a landscape feature. A Kettle Moraine topography is the rolling hills and deep kettles that were left behind after the glaciers retreated. So a lot of people are familiar with the Southern Kettle Moraine Forest unit that is owned by the Wisconsin DNR. We are partners with the DNR, but we're not actually the same entity. So Kettle Moraine is really a wooded landscape that is pockmarked with small depressions that hold water seasonally. And so it makes for a really beautiful landscape to look at, and it's extremely diverse with not only mammals that dwell in the forest, but the birds and also the amphibians and reptiles that take advantage of those low, wet kettles all year round.
Right. So, in a sense, it's a small K, small M name, Kettle Moraine. I mean, it's a term that could be utilized anywhere.
Yes, and actually, the Kettle Moraine landscape goes throughout most of Walworth County. A lot of people, again, as I mentioned, think of it more so in the northern part, but it's where the glacier stopped and melted and just left a mess of mixed up soil and gravel and boulders. And so once the glaciers left, then they left all that mess behind, and that turned into be these lovely Kettle Moraine topography.
Right. Now, and I guess what I'm asking is, are there Kettle Moraines in other places? I mean, like, is there a Kettle Moraine in Minnesota and a Kettle Moraine in southern Canada?
No, they're unique to Wisconsin. In fact, that it's actually where two lobes of the glacier came together. There was a lobe from Green Bay and a lobe from the Canada that came down, and they fought each other for dominance. And where they were, those big sheets of ice were crashing into each other and pushing back on each other, that's where that intersection is. That is where the Kettle Moraine is, and that is mostly in the southern Wisconsin area.
So it is, in one sense, a general geographic term, but it's also a very specific sort of capital K, capital R geographical term. I mean, that it refers to a very specific place and not just generally what it looks like. So
correct.
It's a unique area, and you're right, exceptionally beautiful.
Yes.
So explain for our listeners, although I trust by now if they've been listening to the most of these programs we've done with Nan Calvert, they probably have a pretty good sense of what a land trust is, but why don't you spell it out as you understand it?
Right. Thank you. So as Nan mentioned, land trusts, there's about 50 or 60 in Wisconsin, and they form in communities by people. They are created by people who live in these communities who see a specific need to protect land for a specific purpose. So the Nature Conservancy is a land trust, and they're global. The Kettle Moraine Land Trust is specific to Walworth County and started around the Lauderdale Lakes area near Elkhorn because there was a piece of property there that was very very unique, had a high value natural resources, some threatened and endangered species there, and it was threatened by development. So that group of people in the early 2000s, around 2002, decided we need to form a nonprofit organization that can protect this land forever. And that's how the Kettle Moraine Land Trust came into being. And we now, we're a nonprofit. We're open to anyone can join. Our membership starts at $35 and goes up from there. We subsist on donations from our members, and I write grants. We get some grants from foundations. Our members are also volunteers that help carry out our programming. We provide environmental education programming, and that is one of the unique things about our trust. Every trust has a different purpose. Yes, they all strive to protect and preserve land forever, but our trust in particular has a very strong focus on environmental education from the get-go. We have always felt it extremely important to educate people, particularly students, about the importance of nature and environmental education. So while we own 4 nature preserves that are open for the public, and we hold conservation easements on lands that are privately owned, we also host many programs for school districts throughout Walworth County and host public programs that elevate people's IQ, nature IQ, make them smarter about nature and more appreciative.
Nan, that does sound like a lot of what happens at CINO as well. Is it fair to say that the two land trusts share that common goal?
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, I'd like to mention, too, that Caledonia Conservancy also has a focus on education, working within the Racine Unified School District especially. So, but as Maggie said, not all land trusts necessarily provide school programming. Every land trust has the same vision and the same mission, essentially, but the way they go about it might be different from one to the other.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. So Maggie Zollner is Executive Director of the Kettle Moraine Land Trust. She's our special guest, along with Nan Calvert from CINO Kenosha Racine Land Trust Conservancy. You mentioned that the land trust owns 4 nature preserves.
Yes.
Can you tell us about them?
Yes, I'd love to. They're pretty much scattered throughout Walworth County. They vary in size from 8 acres to up to 36 acres. So they're not extremely large, but I think that's a great reflection of why land trusts are important. We can preserve those small, unique places that maybe will be overlooked by a park district or a county organization.
Right. And could you explain what that term means? Because in some respects, all of these terms start to kind of flow together. I mean, the whole thing sounds like land trust. You're preserving all this land, but then there are these things called nature preserves. What
right.
does that designation represent?
So a nature preserve is a property that we actually own. So we, not every land trust owns property. So we own 4 different properties, and we manage them for passive recreation, meaning that people are welcome to come and enjoy them, but, you know, don't bring your mountain bike or your ATV, because our mission is to protect natural resources primarily. So if we can do that on our nature preserves and still have the public enjoy them, then definitely that's what we do. So we have these 4 nature preserves, all different names, Beulah Bluff, Turtle Creek, Island Woods, and Jackson Creek. And so they're named after certain features that are unique to those locations. And they protect endangered and threatened species in some cases, plant species, or in the case of Turtle Creek, which is in Darien Township in the southwestern part of Walworth County, that's actually home to some rare species of amphibians and reptiles. So it's not a bear. There aren't any trails there. There's a small parking lot. It's a wetland. Wetlands are not always the nicest, most enjoyable kind of landscape to walk through, but they're extremely important and critical for amphibians and wildlife. So it fits our mission to preserve them. We do have a couple of our preserves which do have trails and parking lots and beautiful overlooks, great places to take a hike and have a lunch. And you can find out about where those are and all the amenities on our website.
Mm-hmm. Nan, does CINO, would they own nature preserves
we
also?
Do. Yes, we do. Some people might be familiar with Jean McGraw Nature Preserve, which is just off the side of the freeway, just south of Highway 50. And so it's open to the public. Parking is limited, but people are certainly welcome to go and tromp around in there. It's right off the Des Plaines River, so it does get wet a bit. And every year through the Natural Resources Foundation, we offer a canoe kayak the Des Plaines in early spring. On the other side of the freeway, we own a large property. We call it the Coker Barnes property because that is the family that we worked with in order to secure the property. And we're very interested in helping preserve land along the Des Plaines River because, again, as Maggie said, our floodplains, our wetlands are critical in terms of habitat and species preservation, flood control, the water cycle, and so on and so forth. And if you're familiar with that part of southeast Wisconsin, you know that it is highly urbanized. You have Highway 50, you have the freeway, you have all manner of businesses up and down and all around. And so keeping that open and keeping that flowing is really, really important.
So Maggie Zollner, in addition to land that your land trust actually owns, mm-hmm. these four nature preserves, then there's other lands that you are responsible for. Mm-hmm. So what is the relationship that you have with those lands if you don't own them? I mean, for instance, who owns them and what is your level of responsibility for those lands?
Great question. We work with private landowners and landowners who are public, meaning we have partnerships with Walworth County Public Works Department and the Wisconsin DNR. So for the Walworth County Public Works Department, they are tasked with maintaining three county parks. They have one staff person to do that. So the Kettle Moraine Land Trust enters into partnerships with municipalities to help them increase their level of stewardship on these public lands. So it's not important to the trust that we own these parcels, but that they are really crucial community assets. And if the counties, much like the states, are faced with dwindling budgets, and the way that we need to overcome that is to work in partnership with each other and to leverage our resources. So, and that's, you know, the fact that Nan has me here today shows that, you know, land trusts are all about partnership. We need to work together in order to protect our community assets. These lands that are owned by the county or the DNR in Walworth County are wonderful public assets, and we want to help people get out to them and become familiar with them, learn to love them, because people will protect and advocate for places that they appreciate and love. So foremost, our responsibility is to help raise awareness of these beautiful open spaces in the various communities. And then secondary to that is to help increase the resources that go towards stewarding these landscapes. Native landscapes require management. We can't just let them sit idle and expect that invasive species are going to avoid them. We know that
Wouldn't
doesn't
that be
happen.
Nice?
Yes, put up little signs.
Right. Yeah, right. So we do what we can with our municipal partners to bring volunteers, to bring our expertise. I've written management plans for several of the parks, and those management plans are used to kind of get us all on the same page with grab the attention of the community and explain to them that this is what needs to be done at this park. So we do volunteer work days. I help coordinate work days. We bring our own volunteers out to the parks, and out once we get out there, we have school groups, we have retired people, family groups, and we're just out there cutting invasive species and collecting prairie seed and reseeding and planting trees, and we do that throughout the year. Sometimes it's on county parks and sometimes it's in state natural areas.
Hmm. And this also, I'm sure, is a very close counterpoint to what you do at CINO.
Oh, absolutely. We couldn't survive without volunteer assistance. Earlier this spring, we planted 1,570 tree seedlings, and we couldn't have done it without our volunteers. I can't thank them enough. And also, if anyone is interested in volunteering for CNOT Conservancy, please get hold of me, because we are looking for volunteers for all kinds of things. If you, it doesn't matter if you don't like working outside or you don't know plants or whatever, there's something for everybody to do.
So Maggie Zollner, if we looked at a map of Walworth County, what would we see in terms of the lands that are under the auspices of the land trust? I mean, is it a significant swath of Walworth County or a tiny little fraction or someplace in between?
It's a tiny little fraction, but it's a very important tiny little fraction. I'd say overall we protect about 300 acres in perpetuity forever. And that, while 300 acres doesn't sound like a lot, it requires a lot of diligence and a lot of, you know, things like financial reserves, just to make sure that somewhere down the road, if something, you know, catastrophe does befall one of those properties, that we have the finances to be able to come forward and step in and do what needs to be done. But these are very critical, unique places in the community that the community themselves wanted to see protected. We never just sit at our desk and say, well, we're going to protect that parcel over there because we think it looks good from where
right,
we sit.
Right.
We need the community to help us with that. So while these lands are not very large in size, they are very important. And we continue to work kind of out of the limelight with many large landowners. We work with several large youth group or camp properties around those lakes in Walworth County, because they hold hundreds of acres on those camp properties, and they don't always have the budgets or the technical resources to understand what needs to be done out on those properties. So the Kettle Moraine Land Trust will partner with them and kind of act as a consultant, help them develop management plans, link them up with grants that they're available for so that they can improve the biological and ecological health of their lands, even though we don't directly own them or have any direct responsibility for them.
I think I'm remembering something that you said as you were introducing yourself and first talking about the Kettle Moraine Land Trust, when you said something about the lakes, and that, and we're talking about at least primarily, what is it, lakefront property? Is it, are all the properties you are talking about on or near lakes?
Many of them are near lakes, and that kind of came into being because a lot of the development pressure in Walworth County is on the lakes. It's mostly an agricultural county. I think I said about 70% of the land use is in ag. But what is not is highly developed around the lakes, and there's a lot of development pressure that continues on those lakes. Small cottages are getting torn down, and larger homes are getting built. So when we look at the properties in our county and say, well, where are those remaining crucial resources, a lot of times they are still those areas that are near lakes, those large woodlands. Unfortunately, we have very few prairies left in Walworth County. So we focus on those areas that still remain largely undeveloped, and they do seem to be around lake watersheds. So we do have a strong focus in those areas.
So when somebody, in a sense, signs over property which they own but they want to see protected by an organization like yours in a land trust, what kind of restrictions then end up going into place? What kind of activity or development is completely off limits when land is protected in this way?
Well, if the trust is going to own the land, then we are just simply the landowner, like any other person would be, and we can dictate the use that is allowed on that property. If the trust is working with a landowner who wants to retain ownership of their land but see it protected, then we would have a conservation easement on that property. And a conservation easement is always unique to each property and each property owner's vision. So a landowner has basically a bundle of rights that they have that they can enact on their land. Like if I have 20 acres, I can subdivide it. I can put up a house. I can put up a shooting range if it's large enough. But a conservation easement, what we'll do with the landowner is say, well, these are the areas that really need to be protected because it's great woodland or wildlife habitat, and these are the rights that we're asking you to give up in order to protect that woodland and wildlife habitat. So we're going to say it's not in the natural resources' best interest for you to be able to subdivide that property or to put up any structures. And those are the two major rights that are usually given up when a owner decides to enact a conservation easement on their property. But it's a conversation with each landowner because we want to make sure that their vision for their property is fulfilled. We have some easements where they do allow timber harvesting as long as the timber harvesting is for the consumption of that family. So they're not doing a harvest for profit, but rather for their own personal use. And they may allow hunting in a natural area. And we have agricultural easements. I think Nan was talking about that, you know, we could also hold ag easements. So they're all very specific. And it's a conservation easement is enacted because the landowner wants to see that land preserved in a way that they want future generations to use it, and in a way that the land trust believes we can maintain the natural resource diversity.
How complicated would be each of these documents? I mean, I assume they exist in some kind of documents. I mean, a conservation easement for a given property. I mean, are we talking about 3 pages, 5 pages, 500 pages? I mean, how lengthy and intricate and complex does this get to be?
Each one is different. I would say most of our easements are fairly easy to read within 4 or 5 minutes. You're through the document. It doesn't take that long. It's not difficult to follow. It's basically just an agreement that says this is the property that's unique. This is why it's unique. This is how we're going to make sure that those unique values stay in place for future generations. The landowner, we always encourage the landowner to work with their own lawyer. We spend months making sure that we're meeting the goals of the landowner. But all in all, it's really not that complicated of a process. It just takes time because you want a good, strong partnership that really reflects the values of both partners. And that can't be done, you know, in a single conversation. It takes a couple of meetings. And, you know, we're talking, as Nan said, in perpetuity. That's forever. It's a long time. So it's well worth it to take several months to figure out what the best type of agreement and conservation easement would be.
And I assume that you are the primary contact person for those conversations.
Yes. Yes. We do have a 14-member board, a volunteer board of directors, and four of those directors sit on our stewardship committee. So our stewardship committee is actually tasked with making sure that the projects that we bring forth to our full board to consider are worthy of our mission. And so there's, and that also helps the landowner understand more clearly what our mission is and puts them in touch with our directors. So that personal contact and building a circle of trust is really important to us.
Nan, what is your experience with this side of it? Is this part of it that you personally are involved in?
Yes, I started out being directly involved with our conservation subdivisions. And I should say that Sino Conservancy is unique in the land trust world, at least here in Wisconsin, in that we have conservation subdivisions. It's not, as I discovered, common for land trusts to have conservation subdivisions. So in other words, we hold the easements on a certain percentage of land within a conservation subdivision. And so we are charged with the responsibility of taking a look at that land and helping and guiding and educating and urging the developers and the homeowners to do what should be done. And what should be done is spelled out in the stewardship plan. We also have private landowners who have easements on their properties. And Brighton Woods Orchard is probably known to some of our listeners. And we hold the easement on that property so that it will always remain agricultural, regardless of who owns it and when that ownership takes place. So we do a couple of different things. And just listening to Maggie talk about how landowners can do different things on their properties, our main property is Sino Conservancy on Highway P. We have 131 acres. And the very forward-thinking woman who put it into trust made certain that in her document it spelled out that it would be used for education and that we are a forestry operation. We're a very small forestry operation right here in southeastern Wisconsin, which hardly anybody knows about.
Wow.
So easement documents are highly variable depending upon what the homeowner wants to have done. Sometimes they're not very complex, and other times they can spell out how much square footage any given building on the property can or cannot increase. It can only go up, but it can't go out. So it just depends on the property itself and the and what the owner wants to have happen, especially if the buildings are historic.
Ah, right. So, Maggie Zollner, what about this business of management, of when there are properties for which you have the responsibility of managing them? Just how complicated a matter is that, and what typically are the specific concerns that are being managed?
Mm-hmm. Well, like any good manager, we have a management plan. Every property has a specific schedule of tasks that need to be carried out in order to keep that property diverse and ecologically healthy. And those tasks vary depending on the time of year. The most common ones are that we are very diligent about inventorying every property to make sure that we understand if there are new invasive species on the property that need to be tended to, and that the management that we've done on invasive species in the past has, in fact, done its job, which unfortunately usually isn't always the case because invasive species are very tenacious and have very many different modes of reproduction and expanding their populations. So we spend a good deal of time inventorying the property. Then we will come up with a management plan for that specific year. And if it's a property that's a prairie, oftentimes that involves burning, a prescribed burn on the prairie every 3 to 4 years. And we do that with volunteers and a contractor who has all the credentials for prescribed burning. We also do sometimes spraying for invasive species. We also do seed collecting so that when we're restoring an area, we collect seed on that property and then move it, you know, 100 feet over to an area that is more degraded that needs to be restored. And in some of our preserves that have scenic overlooks and terraces and trails, we do trail maintenance. We do parking lot grading. And oftentimes, again, those are with the helps of our members and volunteers. We have a great committed group of volunteers, always need more, and they help us with not only the maintenance that we do on our own, but also when we have many of our environmental programs. That sometimes we bring the high school kids out and we teach them about invasive species, and then they also help us do some of the maintenance on the property, like improving the section of trail or expanding a section of trail. So we have pretty defined management plans, and you know, we're usually able to get all that work done.
That probably also sounds familiar, I'm guessing.
Yes, we lead parallel lives, you and I.
One thing I noticed on your website is that you recently had an event that had something to do with monarch butterflies.
Yes, I'm so glad that you asked about that. it was my favorite event by far this year. One of the things that that nonprofits struggle with, of course, is making sure that we have enough money to keep fulfilling our mission for the community. And I really firmly believe that land trusts are social good organizations, much like your local food pantry is, or your library. So this last year, the Kettle Moraine Land Trust really thought long and hard about how are we going to make a bigger impact on our community and fulfill our mission at the same time. And in Walworth County, there are about 23 operating food pantries.
Wow.
Yeah. And a lot of those food pantries can only serve people in their certain township or in their school district. So there is truly a need for 23 food pantries. And in reaching out to those pantries, we found out that a lot of their need is in the summer months when children are out of school, and a lot of children in the county receive free or reduced lunches. And during the summer, they're not getting, those families can't have that assistance. So they're going more often to the food pantries. Mm. And those pantry shelves are bare. There aren't a lot of food drives in the summer. You got a lot of them over the holidays and, of course, coming up at Thanksgiving. So we thought, you know, food security or food insecurity and nature go hand in hand, because the natural world is what provides the foundation for the production of our food. Healthy air, healthy soils, clean water. So we developed a series of three events this past summer that culminated in the Hand Feed Monarch Butterfly event. And the whole series was called Nature Nourishes Body and Soul.
Ah.
So what we did was every time you came to one of these events, you got a wonderful experience in nature with a guided expert, but you also became smarter about how nature improves your life. So we are increasing people's nature IQ. And then, of course, education is a stepping stone to preservation. So as I said earlier, once people understand and love these parks and local areas, then they want to protect them, and we you know, can do an even better job for our partners.
So the event with the monarch butterflies went well?
We had nearly 300 people, which was our largest event ever, and it was really wonderful. We had Salt Creek Butterfly Farms, which is an approved butterfly farming, and there's actually an association that approves butterfly farms. We were able to have them come up and help us host this event, and we set up stations of the whole monarch butterfly life cycle. So we had monarchs laying eggs on milkweed plants. We had another station where people could come and see the caterpillars. We had about 40 caterpillars munching on milkweed, and we encouraged the kids to understand about the different instar stages or the development that the caterpillars go through. We had chrysalises that they could look at, and our volunteers were teaching about metamorphosis. And then the last station was this 10 by 20 portable tent that was filled with about 55 live monarchs. And people were shepherded into the tent after they had visited the juice bar, where they could choose what they wanted to feed the monarch butterfly, watermelon. I think there was Gatorade or wild native flowers. And of course, the native flowers were the ones that most of the butterflies flocked to feed. And we had volunteers inside the tent helping families and children. We even had strollers in there. People in wheelchairs were able to get into the tent and really just, you know, kind of a lot of people were reliving experiences that they hadn't had in a long time that they remembered from their childhood, you know, interacting with butterflies, particularly the monarchs that used to be a lot more prevalent than they are today. So, and in order to come to and participate in that event, all people needed to do was to bring non-perishable food items for their local food pantry. So we're trying to connect the, you know, the theme of nature. You know, nature doesn't really need us, but we need nature. We need it to provide our food. It nourishes us physically, but also spiritually as well. There's tons of studies out there that will talk about the benefits of nature, being out in nature, decreasing, you know, the evidence of or the effects of depression, and so on. So it was wonderful. We're going to be doing events like this again next year. So, you know, please check out our website, and you'll get notices of those if you sign up to get our newsletter.
Very good. So I imagine in terms of ongoing work, one of the concerns you have is that you hope that more and more land in Walworth County within the Kettle Moraine will fall under land trust. I mean, that more and more people will choose to turn over their land for land trust. What kind of efforts do you undertake to, in terms of trying to make that happen, in terms of trying to penetrate out into the population and share this possibility with people who don't know anything about it?
Well, for our event series, the Hand Feed Monarch Butterfly events, people always leave with information about the trust. Of course, we have brochures that will explain to them what we do. But that is part of why we do these outreach events. It's to raise awareness of the trust and what we do, and it's also to get people familiar and comfortable with understanding what a land trust does, because I'm sure, as Nan knows, a lot of people still kind of, you know, have questions about that. It's not always a very easy to understand concept. We also, other than providing education experiences and telling people face to face about our work and how they can partner with us, we also do some pretty sophisticated analysis of all the parcels of property in Walworth County. We did this about 2 years ago with the help of Geographical Information Systems. We partnered with UW-Milwaukee graduate students in their urban planning department, and they actually developed a GIS model that reviewed all the parcels of property in Walworth County according to our specific criteria for protection. So we have, like, say, maybe 12 questions we ask. How large is the parcel? Are there threatened and endangered species? Is it on a river or close to a lake? Is it identified for protection in a regional plan or a county plan? And so that model actually went through and did a geographical analysis of all those properties, and then about 40 of them popped up to the top. And those are the ones throughout the county that we've been working with and reaching out to those landowners and trying to get them to understand why we think their property is so valuable. And we have, you know, varying degrees of success with that. Some people are very interested in talking to us, and some people are very comfortable in that, you know, they're comfortable with preserving their land as it is, and they don't feel that they need a partner, and that's great too. So we only want to work with willing landowners.
Right. You want to be where you are welcome and wanted,
right.
And of course, the way this is all set up, that's the only way it works.
Exactly.
So that kind of cooperative spirit. If people are interested in learning more about the Kettle Moraine Land Trust, what do you suggest they do?
Well, they should call me, Maggie Zollner, at 262-949-7211. I'm also on our website at kmlandtrust.org. They can find my contact information there. And, of course, email me. And, we're always interested in talking to people. And, you know, after that, the best way to understand if we're on the same page with our land protection goals is to have a site visit with them eventually. And
right.
All that is a walk and a talk, and just getting to know the land and get to know each other.
Just a stroll through the woods.
Yes, that's favorite part of my job.
Where are you located, by the way? I mean, like, where is your desk?
Actually, excellent question. Our office is actually located on a property that is protected by a conservation easement. It's our largest conservation easement. It's at Lauderdale Lakes Country Club. On the north side of Elkhorn. So Lauderdale Lakes Country Club or golf course, it's a 57-acre golf course, and we are situated in the former greenkeeper's home right on Highway 67 and Sterlingworth Drive. So
are you saying that some of that golf course or country club is under a conservation easement?
Yes, it is. And it's a great example of why conservation easements are specific to each landowner's needs. That golf course was, at one point in time, was up for sale and was potentially going to be developed into many, many condominiums. And the people in that community didn't want to see that happen. So they came to the trust and said, how can we protect this property? And what the trust does is look at it and say, well, is it worthy of protection? And it was, because it's 57 acres. It's got many of those acres are natural wetland. And the golf course itself is in open space, which is a value for the public. And so the easement allows golf to happen in the golf zone. The easement's broken down into zones. There's an area where the clubhouse is and the municipal buildings to help maintain the golf course, and that's a different part of the easement, so they can replace those buildings if they want without having to go through any special steps, but they can't necessarily put a new building on the golf course without getting approval from the trust. So the easement is very specific and tailored to that. That course could even be sold in the future, and you know, that's fine. The new owners can still conduct golf operations, but they can't subdivide it and turn it into housing or development. So It's a beautiful property.
Right. And so this agreement is permanently on the books.
Yes, it is. Forever.
Wow. Well, it's a really nice for us to be able to end on it with a really intriguing example of the way in which that this can play out. Nan, do you have anything in particular to add about what we've been talking about here?
You live in a rich part of southeastern Wisconsin in terms of the ability to preserve land. So if you are thinking about it, if you're interested in it, please give us a call. We're always happy to talk to you about it and explore possibilities and work with landowners.
Very good. Again, the website address for the Kettle Moraine Land Trust is kmlandtrust.org. And the website for yours, for Seno?
Seno, KRLT.org.
That's S-E-N-O.
Yes.
Very good. Nan, to finish out, I suspect you have a few events you want to tell us about.
I do. I have two events I'd like to tell you about. One, of course, is being sponsored by our favorite Sierra Club chapter, Southeast Gateway Group Sierra Club. And it will happen on November 17th at 6:30 at the Gateway/S.C. Johnson IMET Center. And the program is all about the mounds of Wisconsin. The presenter will be Josephine Green Deer Lee, and she's the museum director for the Ho-Chunk Nation. And she'll talk about the history of mound building in southeastern Wisconsin. Another program that you need to know about is on November 26th, yes, that is Thanksgiving weekend, but we were hoping a lot of people would be home then because Seno Conservancy is hosting a free drone class. There will be two sessions, one in the morning, and it'll be repeated in the afternoon. It's free, but you do need to register and let us know you're coming, and you can call 539-3222, and people say, why in the world are you hosting a drone class?
Right.
And it's because drone technology is on the cutting edge, not only of forestry, but all kinds of land management in general, allowing people to get into remote areas with amazingly sensitive equipment that can do water sampling and soil sampling. Some of the research that's being done right now even includes the ability to run the tests right on site with the ability of the drone to carry small computers and all kinds of things. So it's really fascinating, and wow, it's technology that is absolutely exploding in terms of its abilities. So there you have it. That's why we're doing a drone class.
Wow, interesting. And when is that again?
That is on November 26th, 9 until noon, and then the second session will be from 1 until 4.
So the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
After Thanksgiving.
Very good.
We won't have leftovers, but that's okay.
Sounds interesting anyway. Nan Calvert from the Seno Kenosha Racine Land Trust, Director of Education and Outreach there. Great to have you here as always.
Thank you.
And our very, very sincere thanks to Maggie Zollner, Executive Director of the Kettle Moraine Land Trust. It was great to meet you today. Thank you so much for being part of the morning show today.
Thank you.
I'm Gregory Berg. Tomorrow on the morning show, I'll be airing an interview with Kyle Kettering, who has written a very interesting book called Olympic Collision. This book looks back at 1984, the Los Angeles Olympics, Olympic Games that were very, very exciting and successful for the host Americans, but one of the really dark moments for America's team came in the 3,000 meters when the favorite in the race, American runner Mary Decker, tripped and fell, badly injured herself, and was unable to finish the race. And it was a collision with South African runner Zola Budd. The fascinating dual story of how their lives intertwined is told in this remarkable new book called Olympic Collision. We'll be talking with the author. Also, Jessica DeBoer will join us to talk about the next concert in the Fine Arts at First series. And it's a concert that features me in a variety of love songs. That's going to be Sunday afternoon. The previously scheduled interview for tomorrow, a book about Brett Favre called Gunslinger, is going to be airing next week instead. Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later